Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. The last couple of times we spoke with comedian Jim Brewer, he was celebrating the release of his first book, I'm Not High, about his life on and off the stage and the spiritualism that has helped guide his adult years. Since then, the Saturday Night Live alum and actor has kept busy on the road and with his family. And though Brewer has always been known for his intense love of heavy metal, he's just as focused on his roles as a son and father. He was also recently a viral star online in a video that paired Brewer with competitive eater Kobayashi, who promptly downed 42 cups of coffee. Jim Brewer will be back in our listening area June 9th, when his heavy metal family man comedy show visits the venue formerly known as Northern Lights, now called Upstate Concert Hall, in Clifton Park, New York. Jim Brewer, welcome back to the Roundtable.
Wow, that was a big intro.
Yeah, we don't mess around on
WMC. No, you don't clown around. Good Lord. I like that.
Will you tape that and use it on the road as you come out?
I'm gonna. That's my new opener. I'm going to put some music behind it, and I'm going to make a video.
So how has life been since the release of the book? That was such a big project for you, and you worked on it for a while through ups and downs, and now that's kind of behind you.
It's kind of behind me. Since then, the More Than Me DVD with my dad is now about to start getting out there. And now the new special. I have a new special I'm filming in July 14th. It's kind of put a stamp on my last special, which was very family-oriented. This is going to be more family-oriented. And some of the dates I'm doing now, the heavy metal rock shows, they're meant, you know, as a kid, I used to go and see heavy metal shows. Now, a lot of people think heavy metal is, is the devil and dark and screaming. And, you know, there is some of that. But what people don't realize is what great shows some of those were. Laser lights and amazing sounds and stages and theatrical. So the two best things that go together are comedy and music. And years ago, I used to mix hard rock music with stand-up comedy. And I stopped doing it for a while for a lot of reasons. But now I'm starting to do it again. It's more of, I guess the best way to describe it is this is a comedy, fun rock show event. I'm not gonna be blasting singing for an hour and a half. The music's not like, oh my gosh, it's horrifying. It's just it mixes well with everybody, and it's been going really good. And what I wanted to eventually do is where everyone between 12 and 60 can show up and watch this and just have a great freaking time.
You know, a lot of the metal people you looked up to, Metallica has been going for 30 years. They don't look like they've aged at all. And think about a guy like Dio, who was out there every night until he got sick.
Right.
I don't know, do you take that into your preparation in comedy that, you know, even as you've gotten a little older, you can still do this great big show?
Yeah, no. This is where I feel best, and that's where I'm going to I've been watching a lot of George Carlin lately. This is what's going to keep me going till I'm gone from this earth. But those shows, and it's funny you say Metallica, because they've seen the heavy metal comedy show, and they booked me on their Orion Metallica Festival.
Yeah.
And now I'm also playing Germany with this festival. And I did it last year in Germany, and you would have thought I was Metallica. They were like, we never saw uns comedy and hard rock together like that. It was good. Yeah. You come back. This year I'm coming back, and I think in another year when I'm really ready to launch this as a full-blown tour, this is going to be a monster.
What has it meant to you? You are such a big metal fan, and now you've become this almost mascot and friend to these bands that you once idolized, specifically Metallica. I mean, did you ever see that this would be a possibility for your fandom to take this level?
You know, when I was younger, I did. When I was younger, I absolutely saw it. I used to draw pictures in school of rock arenas and stages where I was doing comedy and then doing rock. So it was a vision I had since I was about 16, 17. I just never really knew how to mix the two worlds together so it made sense. And then, yeah, you come across guys like Metallica and Judas Priest and AC/DC and Ozzy, and you find them coming on your radio show and helping you out, and it's very surreal. But now now I can see I'm not that far off track again.
Have you kept listening to the music the same way as you did?
Yeah. And I realize the older I get, it's like fine wine. I keep trying the new stuff. And I'll say, yeah, this is good. But the minute I still find myself wanting to thrash, I still find myself You know what I did this morning? I listened to Judas Priest in concert, and I watched the new AC/DC DVD. I mean, 45 years old, and this is I have more fun doing that than whatever else I'm doing right now.
What was it that first turned you on to that?
It's the sound of the grungy guitars. I don't know what part of my soul it kicks, but there's something in it that drives my energy. It's the energy of that music. It's the attitude of that music it's unexplainable, just makes me nuts. I can literally go jogging, and I can run for 3 hours as long as I'm fueled with that music.
And a lot of people would think it's strange to marry, you know, your background. You're very honest about your family, your problems with your family, what it's like to have your father in the picture and then your daughters, and then to also still, you know, be able to put on the Black Album and just go nuts. I mean, how do those two come together for you?
It's just natural. Some people seek therapy. Some people seek drinking. Some people will go out there and whatever it is that gets them through the day. To me, all I have to do is put on some music, and it gets me right. Everything I want flushed out gets flushed out. It just comes natural.
You know, a lot of comedians, at this point, they wouldn't like being on the stage as much or being in the clubs, but you said you still love it.
I do still love it. I do get tiresome on the weekends if I'm doing two shows. I'd love to be breaking out into the theater worlds, the Brian Regans and the Gaffigans and, you know, the Louis C.K. I'd be fibbing if I said I'm really striving for that as my next goal. If this time, a year and a half from now, I want to be, I'm in the theaters and that's that. I love the clubs, but I am starting to get worn out. You know, that Friday night and you're struggling with some people that have been drinking too much and show's ending at midnight, I'm getting old for that.
Obviously, you've been in films, you were on SNL, you've had a really long stand-up career, you're writing now. It's interesting to hear you say that there's still, you know, a drive in you to keep moving forward.
Always. Always, always, always. And I get bored real quick, so I guess it's just in me. I always, always, always ready to create something new for the future. When I know something works, I love it. I'm excited about it, but I'm not going to live by it. It's over. It's done. It's like building up a nice house. Oh, the house is beautiful. Okay, well, now you got to start building cabinets. What are you building next? I'm always going to be that way. That's what keeps me going my whole life, is just creating, creating, creating.
The best thing you could do as a father is make sure your wife, the mother of your children, get as much rest as possible. Because sleep deprivation in a mother leads to murder. You see it on the news, like another woman drowned her kids and she just needed a nap. That was it. And it's true. My wife's a beautiful woman, and she installs faith in life. She's like, you know, the kids, and make sure you thank God for a wonderful day, and just thank Him for everything we have, and just we're blessed. And but if she don't nap, if she don't sleep, the devil goes, I'll take over from here. And there is nothing worse than waking up as a man in the middle of the night, like 5 a.m, and your wife's just sitting on the edge of the bed, just staring at you. Baby, what are you doing? Why are you not? What are you doing up so early? Up so early? I haven't been to bed yet.
That's comedian Jim Brewer, who is coming to our area June 9th. I'm Ian Pickus, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. What else haven't you accomplished yet that you look forward to?
Directing films.
A quick answer.
I'd love to direct film, and I'm going with my a music video. We're just finishing writing our first music video. I don't want to give away too many details, but this is part of the metal comedy show. And hopefully it'll be out and about by the winter time. But that one alone I'm excited about because I'm writing it, directing it, and putting it all together. But directing, I really, really want to start directing. I feel like there's so many comedians out there I can gel and put them in circumstances that make sense for them and in films and work to their strengths.
Would you direct yourself on camera at the same time?
No, I don't see myself as wanting to be. You know, years ago, I'm like, yeah, I want to be the star, and I don't see myself as that anymore. I really enjoy where I'm at. I get the confused. I get some people go, "Hey, it's Jim Brewer." I get some people that look at me a little confused. Is that the? I think I know that. I'm not sure if I really enjoy that. I don't know if I want to be that mark where everyone knows who you are.
I want to ask more about your family and how much of it you're willing to share in comedy. I mean, what's fair game for you, and how do you go about saying, yeah, that's something I'll put into my act?
As long as there's no feelings being seriously hurt. If there's, because at the end of the day, I got to come home and live with them. If there's feelings, most of what I tackle too, there is a message in there. I try to throw in a type of message, whether it's relatable. You know, my wife always, she thinks she's the worst mom at times, and she thinks that the kids are the worst kids. And then, in a way, I'll show her, like, really? Watch what I'm going to act out everything that just happened to us. And the whole place is in stitches. Not so much because it's funny, because they all come up going, do you live in our house? Because that's the way we are. It's like, see? It's always a healing thing, because so many people don't communicate with each other. And when they see it, they go, oh, I feel so much better. We're exactly what you are. And if you're that way, then we must be normal.
Is it a greater strain on your family life because of the career that you do have?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. We found a really good balance. They come a lot. They come with me on shows. They come with me on really cool road trips. The biggest strain is, which now I'm starting to learn, is when they have soccer or softball or this and that, and I'm not around. That bothers me. But now I figure it out. May, June, July, I don't really work. And then I start gearing up in August, and then I go out in the fall and the winter. And then the Christmas time, the holidays, I stay home. And then gear up to kick on out again.
How has, in the last 5 years, your relationship with your father changed?
The only thing that's really changed is traveling together. We don't travel together anymore. Which may change, I don't know. That's the only big thing. He was able to communicate a lot more. The last couple years, but the last 2 years, his communication level has dropped, and he's physically being able to get up and take care of himself it just doesn't happen anymore. We need a nurse to come in and help us now. So that's where the big change is. Like, even in the past, I had no problem bringing him on the road, and we I'd shower him, or if he had an accident, I had no problem helping with that. But it's just, it's like having a 2.5-year-old baby with you, but the baby is, you know, 200 pounds. I can't, it needs to be fed, needs to be dressed, needs to be washed, needs to be bathed, needs to be brought to the toilet, there's accidents. So it's really hard. It's impossible. It's completely impossible. That's the only big difference, is being able to travel with him.
I mean, for people who might not know the whole story, you really took on this late-in-life relationship with your father and took this, as you're saying, a huge burden on while staying out on the road. It's really impressive.
Well, when I was a kid, people used to say, the saying was, you have your faith in God, then family, and then the importance of work. Somehow, if you ask people now, it's, you have work, more work, career, and then myself, and then everything else. And so if you keep that very easy standard, it's not that hard to figure out. But our temptations of making more money and being all we can be, it's a very selfish attitude. And it's not going to get you very far in the long run. You know, I think time has proved it. How many people making tons of money kill themselves or OD on drugs, or it's just tragedy. They're in their fifth marriage. It's because they're just morally not grounded. I'm not saying they have to be, a church every Sunday. Just moral in your head, the unselfishness of why you're here is really important.
How have you been able to live that way so well?
You got to put a good team around you. The best thing is my wife could care less about anything Hollywood or anything, just any of that world. She can care less. And for entertainers or anyone with an ego-driven or a self-driven world to become something, which really you're just chasing dreams and images, it's huge when you have that other half telling you, hey, you're really going to do this because that's the kid's birthday. Hey, you know, you promised so-and-so that you'd be there this day. Hey, you know, you didn't take out the garbage. You said you'd take out the garbage. I can't do everything. And that's in an entertainer's world, or in a people that are career driven and where I'm super educated and I'm the CEO of a company, that's all ego driven. Everyone around you tells you how great you are. You may be the greatest of great in your political world, your educational world, or whatever it is where you're a rock star, but are you that same rock star at home? That's a big difference. And a lot of people can't handle that when they're at home because they're so used to being a rock star outside the house.
Jim Brewer will be back in our listening area June 9th. He's taking his heavy metal family man comedy show to Upstate Concert Hall, which was just up until very recently known as Northern Lights. That's in Clifton Park, New York. Hey, Jim, I hope when you direct that first film, you get to have Joe Pesci make a cameo, because you definitely deserve that.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate it. And thanks for the support. And I'll talk to you soon again, I hope.
Me too. Jim Brewer, thank you so much.
Take care.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.